Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to today's open mic seminar on WebSphere MQ clustering. Our speaker for today is Judy Zhang, IBM Staff Software Engineer, WebSphere MQ Product Expert. She has been working in MQ system monitoring, administration, and diagnostic for many years and owns one patent. Now, Judy is working as MQ Level 2 support for ZOS platform, supporting global customers. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a polling survey, then question and answer session, at which time if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, 27th of September, 2011. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker, Judy. Thank you, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for attending IBM MQ session today. Today I'll share WebSphere MQ clustering topic with you. Here's the session agenda. First, I'll give an overview about clustering, explain how cluster work, and then we'll discuss cluster configuration, workload balancing, and today I'll show some best practice on clustering. At last, I will give a simple introduction about the difference between clustering and sharing. It's specific to queue sharing group, which is ZOS only. Okay, now, let's see what is clustering. Clustering is a way to logically group WebSphere MQ queue managers so that you have reduced system administration, increased availability, and workload balancing. MQ has some important concepts to support MQ clustering. They are repository, full repository and partial repository, cluster receiver channel, cluster sender channel, and cluster transmission queue. We will talk them later. How benefit from clustering? The first is simplified administration. With the increasing our business, we need large WebSphere MQ networks, and they require more and more object definitions such as channels, transmission queues, and remote queues. In cluster, we no more need to define them as many as before. The second biggest benefit is workload balancing. We could use cluster to spread the workload and route around failures. With MAU, clustering could offer flexible connectivity by overlapping clusters and gateway queue managers. Let's see how cluster looks like. It's a typical cluster architecture. We're now in page 7. Okay, in this picture, there are three queue managers. Queue manager 1 and queue manager 2 are full repositories, and queue manager 3 are partial repositories. Each queue manager has a cluster receiver channel manually defined. What makes cluster work? Repository. What is a repository? A repository is a collection of information about the queue managers that are member of a cluster. This information includes class queue manager names, their locations, their channels, which queues they host, and so on. The information is stored in the form of messages on queue. We call it as system.class.repository.queue. Typically, two queue managers in a cluster hold a full repository. The remaining queue managers are all hold a partial repositories. A repository queue manager is a cluster queue manager that holds a full repository. There are two types of repository, full repository and partial repository. A queue manager that holds a complete set of information about every queue manager in the cluster is referred to as having a full repository for the cluster. The other queue manager in the cluster inquire about information in the full repository and build up their own subsets of this information in partial repositories. A queue manager's partial repository contains information about only those queue managers with which the queue manager needs to exchange messages. the queue managers request updates to the information they need so that if it changes, the full repository queue manager will send them the new information. For much of time, a queue manager's partial repository has all the information it needs to perform within the cluster. While a queue manager needs some additional information, it makes inquiries of the full repository and updates its partial repository. The queue manager uses a queue, sitem.class.command.queue, to request and receive updates to the repository. Cluster queues. A queue manager that holds class queues must advertise its queues to the cluster. We use define local queue with the cluster option to define such class queues. Once a queue has been advertised, any queue manager in the cluster can put messages to it. To put a message, the cluster queue manager had to find out from the full repositories where the queue is hosted. Then it adds some routine information to the messenger and puts the messenger on its cluster transmission queue. You know, each class queue manager has a cluster transmission queue, which is called sitem.class.transmission.queue. A definition for this queue is created by default on every queue manager, except on device. In device, we need to define it by a sample. You also might define class receiver channel and class sender channel for the queue managers in your cluster. A class receiver channel definition defines the receiving end of a channel on which a queue manager can receive messages from other queue managers in the cluster. A class receiver channel can also carry information about the cluster, information destined for the repository. By defining the cluster receiver channel, the check the queue manager shows to the other cluster queue managers that it's available to receive messages. You need at least one class receiver channel for each cluster queue manager. A class sender channel definition defines the sending end of a channel on which a class queue manager can send class information to one of the full repositories. The class sender channel is used to notify repository of any changes to the queue manager's status. For example, the addition of removal of a queue is also used to transmit messages. The full repository queue manager themselves have class sender channel that point to each other. They use them to communicate their cluster status changes to each other. It's of little importance which full repository a queue manager's cluster sender channel definition points to. Once the initial contact has been made, full class queue manager objects are defined automatically as necessary so that the queue manager can send class information to every full repository and a message to every queue manager. Auto-definition of remote queues. A queue manager in a cluster does no need to define a remote queue. The class queue manager finds the location of a remote queue and then adds routine information to the message and puts it on the cluster transmission queue. WebSphereMQ automatically creates a definition equivalent to remote queue definition so that the message can be sent. You cannot alter or delete an automatically created remote queue definition. However, you can look at it using one command, display queue command with a class information attribute. Auto definition for channels. When you are using distributed queues, queuing, a queue manager must have a definition for a cluster sender channel before it can send a message to remote destination. While queue manager has joined the cluster by making its initial class sender and class receiver channel definitions, it does not need to make any other definitions for channels to other queue managers. MQ automatically makes cluster sender channel definition when they are needed. When both the class sender channel end and the class receiver end of a channel are defined, the channel is started an auto-defined channel remains active until it's no longer needed and is shut down using the normal disconnect interval rules. Please note, you cannot see automatically defined channels by using the display channel command. If you want to see the auto-defined channels, please use the command display class queue manager and with queue manager name. And you also can use the command display channel status with the channel name to display the status of auto-defined class sender channel corresponding to the class receiver channel definition you created. So, let me see how class stream works. We are now in the page 9. Okay. See, in this picture, queue manager 1 and queue manager 2 are fully paltry. The solid lines. Okay. The solid lines represent the manually defined class receiver and the class sender channel. The two dashed lines represent the class sender channels that have been created automatically. Queue manager 2 and queue manager 3 have some clustered queues that can be put to by any other queue manager in the cluster. All queue managers have a system dot class dot transmission transmit dot queue from which they can send messages to any other queue manager in the same cluster. So you know, defining a class sender channel has the effect of introducing a queue manager to one of the fully paltry queue manager. The fully paltry queue manager updates the information in its fully paltry accordingly. Then it automatically creates a class sender channel back to the queue manager and sends the queue manager information about the cluster. Thus, a queue manager learns about a cluster and a cluster learns about the queue manager. Now, we are in page 11. So, we can see cluster architecture overview based on queues. We are waiting for the page loading. So, everyone can see this page, page 11. Okay, there's a request queue manager, host application that send request and receive reply. Reply queue manager, host application that receive request and send reply on the top of this page. Let us walk through the flow of a message from a request queue manager to a reply queue manager and the response messages that is returned. We assume that the request application has never used the queue provided the service previously, and that the request application had not communicated with the reply application previously. Clustering introduced a new architectural layer, the full repository and the partial repository queue managers. Purely for the sake of explanation, full repository queue managers are not separate queue managers, and their role is to serve as a global directory of queues and queue managers in the cluster. There are a small number of these full repositories. Each request and reply queue manager have a partial repository. In practice, full repository queue manager often holds applications too. In this picture, at MQ Open, the queue manager to which the application is connected detects that this queue had not been used by this queue manager previously. The queue manager sent an internal messengers, say the line one, requesting the location of the servers for the grid queue and the channel definitions to get to the to these servers. The returned definitions are installed on the request queue managers. So the line two, a channel is automatically defined to the reply queue manager. So the line three. Similar process occurs at the reply side to locate the requester's reply to queue manager. The most frequent method used by a reply application to send a response message to a requester is to use the routine information in the message descriptor, namely the reply to queue and the reply to queue manager. The reply application's requirement is slightly different to the original request, since the originating application's reply to queue is normally private to its queue manager. For example, it is not visible to the whole cluster. In this case, the server needs to be able to locate the reply to queue manager rather than reply to queue. So this happens as follows. When an MQ put one or MQ open request is made to send a messenger to a reply to queue manager for the first time, the queue manager sends the internal messengers, say the line 4, to the repository, requesting the channel definition required to reach the client. The return definition, line 5, is used to automatically define a channel to the requested queue manager. So, the line 6 to get the message back to the request queue manager, where local queue resolution puts the messenger on the reply to queue. Finally, we see what happens when some attributes of a cluster or cluster queue manager change. One interesting case is the creation of a new instance of a cluster queue manager holding a cluster queue being used by a request, say the 7th. This information is propagated from the reply queue manager. Line 8, the full repository propagates the definition to the other full repository. Line 9, and the full repository propagates it to any interesting request queue managers through the repository network. So the line 8, allowing this new instance to be used during an MQ open, MQ put, or MQ put one call. Line 11, note that channels are only automatically defined once on the first MQ open that resolves to a queue on the remote queue manager, not for every MQ open or MQ put. New in WebSphere MQ version 7 are pop-sub clusters, allowing into queue managers pop-sub. Pop-sub clusters use class topic objects. Now, we are in the page 12. So we are okay. In page 12 is also cluster architectural view, but it's based on pop-sub. This was a new feature at version 7 of WebSphere MQ, similar to WebSphere Message Broker connectivities, if they are familiar to you. A familiarity with the new PopSub API and the grounding in administratory topic objects will be useful in understanding how this extends to WebSphere MQ clusters. Point of administration becomes topic rather than queue. Class queues can be used in a traditional way in a pop-sub cluster. Now, we will see how change propagation in clustering. See the page 13, which also is based on queue objects. The important thing to note about the change propagation is notification of a change always starts at the queue manager where the change occurs. Your cluster resources are defined, altered, and deleted by the owner of the resource. This is because the owner of the resource is the best place to change the resource. When a resource changes, such as queue, for example, that change is firstly reflected in the local queue manager. This queue manager then publish the change to the two full repository. You will see the full repository get the new updates. This queue manager publish the change to the two full repository to increase the likelihood of it reaching the network quickly. Full repository publish the change to any other full repository for which they have manually defined the cluster sender channel, and they also publish the change to any other partial repository which have subscribed for the resource that has been modified. In this way, a change applied to a locally owned resource is propagated to all repositories for that cluster and all client and server queue managers that have applications that also express their interest in the resource at MQ open time. Change propagation also needs to take place if a queue manager is being removed from the cluster. The resource that the queue manager owns in the cluster should be deleted, and these deletes will then get published around the cluster so that all the queue managers are aware of the changes. Quite often, what we have seen occurring is that a queue manager is removed without first deleting his cluster resources. This leaves a loose situation where the rest of class thinks the queue manager still exists. If you find this has occurred, you will need to use the reset class command to further remove the queue manager's definition out of the cluster. This will be discussed later in the presentation. Now, we are in 14th change. Change propagation based on topics. In this picture, we define a cluster topic in one queue manager, queue manager A. Topics are always forwarded to all queue managers in the cluster. The first thing a queue manager will need to do when it discusses topic is the cluster is check for relevant subscriptions on all queue managers. This may have performance scaling impacts. So when you display the topic you just defined in the queue manager A, you will find there are local topic and class topic. But in other queue managers in this cluster, you will find the cluster topic only. Let me see how big can cluster be. We are in page 15. There are no predefined limits to the size of a cluster. The main thing to consider is the maximum number of channels that we are needed to connect to your server queue managers. If, for instance, you are hosting cluster queues on a WebCMQ device queue manager, then the maximum number of channels is about 9,000. This would give a maximum, theoretically, cluster size of 45,000 queue managers. If each queue manager in a cluster had one channel going to the server queue manager, and one channel back from the server queue manager, if you require more queue manager than this, there are ways that this can be achieved. For example, you could have more than one backend server and a customized workload. The balancer exists could be written to partial the work across the different servers. The internal workload algorithm will always round robin across all the servers, so they would each need to cope with the channels from all the clients. We will look closer at the workload balancing later in the presentation. One question we regularly asked is whether it is better to have one large cluster or multiple small clusters. This should usually be a business decision only. It may be, for example, you wish to separate the security requests coming from branches of the business over channel using SSL from unsecured requests coming from the internet. Multiple clusters would allow you to achieve this. We're still using the same back-end servers to handle both request types. Top sub-clusters scale into the 100 of the queue managers, not the 1,000. Due to the all-to-all connectivity and overhead of a proxy subscription. So we will talk about cluster configuration. First, I'd like to talk result definition for partial repository. The cluster channels are the backbone of the cluster. It will take a little time to understand what they are used for. The use varies slightly depending on whether the queue manager is going to be used as a full repository or partial repository. In partial repository, to get a partial repository queue manager running the cluster, you will need to define a cluster sender channel and a cluster receiver channel. Cluster receiver channel is the most important of the two, as it has two rules. The first one is it's used as a standard receiver channel on the queue manager on which it's defined. The information, the second one is that the information it contains is used by other queue managers within the cluster to generate. Automatically define the cluster sender channels to talk to the queue manager on which the cluster receive is defined. It's for this reason that the cluster receiver channel definition contains a number of attributes usually associated with the standard channel, such as the connection name. So here, the cluster sender channel is used to point to the partial repository at a full repository queue manager, from which it can then find out about other full repository queue managers and the resources in the cluster. The cluster sender channel on a partial repository queue manager could be considered to be a bootstrap. Once the partial repository has exchanged some initial information with the full repository, the manually defined cluster sender channel is no longer required, but it can be used to preferentially choose a full repository to publish and subscribe for cluster resources as mentioned previously. So we can also define cluster queue by this command using the cluster keyword and so can topics. Now we are in 18 page. In full repository, the role of cluster receiver channel is the same. It provides the information required by other queue managers in the cluster to talk to the full repository. The difference is in the use of cluster sender channel. Manually defined cluster sender channel must be used to link all of the full repository within the cluster for the full repositories to communicate correctly. These channels need to connect the full repository into a fully connected set. In a typical scenario with two free portraits, this means each free portrait must have a class center channel to the other free portrait. This manually definition means that the flow of the information between the full repository can be controlled, rather than each one always sending information to every other full repository. There are two points we need to remember. The first one is the full repository must form a fully connected set using manually defined class sender channels. The second one is the information in the class receiver channel will be propagated around the cluster and used by other queue managers to create auto-defined class sender channel. Therefore, it's worth double-checking that the information is correct. Please note, if you alter a cluster receiver channel, the changes are not immediately reflected in the corresponding automatically defined class sender channels. If the sender channels are running, they will not pick up the changes until the next time they restart. If the class sender channel are in try, the next time they hit a retry interval, they will pick up the changes. Let's see the consideration for full repository. Full repository must be fully connected with each other in the manually defined cluster sender channels. You should always have at least two full repository in the cluster so that in the event of a failure of a full repository, the cluster can still operate. If you only have one full repository and it loses its information about the cluster, then manual intervention on queue managers within the cluster will be required in order to get the cluster working again. If there are two or more full repositories, then the queue information is always published to and subscribed from to full repository. The failed full repository can be recovered with a minimum of effort. Full repositories should be held on machines that are reliable and highly available. This that if no full repository are available in the cluster for a short period of time, this does not affect application messages which are being sent using the cluster queues and the channels. However, it does mean that the class queue manager will not find out about administrative changes in the cluster until the full repositories are active again. For most clusters, full repository is the best number to have. If this is the case, we know that each partial repository queue manager in the cluster will make its publications and subscriptions to both full repositories. It's possible to have more than two full repositories. The thing to bear in mind when using more than two full repositories is that queue manager within the cluster will still only publish and subscribe to two. This means that if the two full repositories to which a queue manager subscribed for a queue are both offline, then that queue manager will not find out about administrative changes to the queues, even if there are other full repositories available. If the full repositories are taken offline as part of scheduled maintenance, then this can be overcome by altering the full repository to be a partial repository before taking them offline. It will cause the queue manager within the cluster to remake their subscriptions as well. If you want a partial repository to subscribe to the particular full repository queue manager, then manually define a cluster sender channel to that queue manager will make the partial repository attempt to use it first. But if that full repository is unavailable, it will then use any other full repository that it knows about. Once a cluster has been set up, the amount of messages that are sent to the full repository from the partial repository in the cluster is very small. Partial repository will resubscribe for cluster queue and the cluster queue manager information every 13 days at which point messages are sent. Other than this, messages are not sent between the full repository and the partial repository unless a change occurs to a resource within the cluster, in which case the full repository will notify the partial repositories that have subscribed for the information on the resource that is changing. As this workload is very low, there is usually no problem with hosting the full repository on the cluster queue managers. This, of course, is based on the assumption that the server queue manager will be highly available within the cluster. This is, it may be that you prefer to keep the application workload separate from the administrative side of the cluster. This is a business decision. Now, we are in page 20. Checking ignition definition. On the partial repository, issue display class queue manager asterisk to display all the class information that the partial repository is aware of. What we want to check is that the manually defined set channel to the full repository no longer has a cluster queue manager name starting system.temporate queue manager. If it does, then we know that the initial communication between the partial repository and the full repository have not completed. The checklist below will help us to track down the problem. First, we need to check the cluster receiver and the cluster sender channel and the cluster name. The partial repository will not attempt to talk to the full repository unless both the cluster receiver and the cluster sender channel are for the same cluster. You also can check channel status of channel to the full repository. The cluster sender channel to the full repository should be started. If it's in retrying status, check the connection name, whether it's correct, and the work, whether it's okay, and that the listener on the full repository there is in running status. On the full repository, issue display class queue manager with the partial repository name. If the partial repository has established a connection with the full repository, it will have sent the information from its cluster receiver channel to the full repository, which will have used it to create a cluster auto-defined channel back to the partial repository. We can check if this has occurred by issue the display class queue manager command on the full repository. Check channel status of channel back from full repository. The full repository should send the information from its cluster receiver channel back to the partial repository. Thus, the channel back to the partial repository should be running. If the channel is in retry, check the connection name on the partial repository's cluster receiver is correct, and check that the listener on the partial repository is running. You also need to check for error messages. If an error occurs in the repository task, either the partial repository queue manager or the full repository queue manager, error messages are produced. If the checklist above, then not provide the answer to the problem, it's worth examining the error logs from the queue managers, as this may aid the problem diagnosis. The next topic is workload balancing. So, we are in page 22. When a cluster contains more then one instance of the same queue workload balancing determines the best queue manager to routine a messenger to. From MQ version 6, MQ provides additional parameters that can be used to influence the results of the workload balancing. It includes queues, queue manager, and the channels parameter. You can also write your own cluster workload user exist if you want to achieve workload balancing. For workload balancing to occur, you need to open the queue with a bind not fixed open option, or you can open with the default bind as queue define and then with the queue parameter that is defined by not fixed. You also can leave MQ message descriptor dot object queue manager name blank to allow the queue manager to choose the queue instance. To force the message to a specific instance of the clustered queues, you can specify that the queue manager name and the object queue manager name. That we see when the workload balance occur. In a typical setup, now we are in 26th page. When a messenger is put to a queue manager in the cluster, destined for a backend server queue manager also in the cluster, there are three places at which workload balancing may occur. The first of these is at either MQ open or MQ put time, depending on the byte options associated with the messenger affinity. If byte on open is specified, then this means all messages will go to the same destination. So once the destination is chosen at MQ open time, no more workload balancing will occur on the message. If your byte not fixed is specified, the message can be sent to any of the available destinations. The decision where to send the message is made at MQ put time. However, this may change where so the messenger is in transit. If a channel from a queue manager to a bank server goes into retry, then any bind not fixed messenger waiting to be sent down that channel will go through workload balancing again to see if there is a different destination that is available. Once the messenger is sent down a channel, at the far end the channel code issues an MQ put to put the messenger to the target queue manager, and the workload algorithm will be called. FCMQ offers some byte options here. There are byte unopen, byte not fixed. Also offer some application options. There are byte unopen, byte not fixed, but as a queue definition. Defined byte queue attributes also could be used when you want to achieve workload balancing. You can set it with not fixed. WebCMQ offers many cluster workload algorithms. If you are interested, in it, you can refer to WebSphereMQ Redbook. I list some parameters here for your reference. There are qput, local instance, channel rank, queue rank, channel status, and channel net priority, channel priority, and queue priority. Most used and the least recently used with channel waiting. Now, the topic becomes the best practice. We are in 30 pages. There are some very important ctm.class queues. For ctm.cluster.conf.queue, this queue holds inbound administrative messages, pre-notice. Input proxy should always be 1, and account depth should be 0 or decrementing. If not, check reported task and error messages. For ctm.class.repository.queue, this queue is used to hold handled view of repository cache. Current depth should be greater than 0, and the current depth varies depending on checkpoints, is not a problem. For ctm.class.transmission.queue, is used to hold outbound administrative messages. Hold outbound user messages. Correction ID in MQ messenger descriptor added on a transmission queue will contain the name of the channel that the message should be set down. In 31 page, I will talk about incorrectly deleted queue manager, how to handle it in this case. If a queue manager is deleted without first removing it from the cluster, then the rest of the queue manager in the cluster will still believe that the queue manager exists and will contain its information for up to 90 days, for 3 months, you know. Another way is required to tell the cluster to remove the information above the deleted queue manager. You need to issue the reset cluster command on the full repository. Because the full repository knows about all the cluster resources owned by the queue manager being removed and can be informed the other queue manager in the cluster to delete them. Quite often, we see a situation where the deleted queue manager is recreated using a script. However, the cluster treats this as different queue manager because each queue manager is assigned a unique queue manager identifier when it's created, MQID in short. This can lead to duplicate queue managers in the cluster. Once again, the reset queue manager, the reset cluster command can be used to remove the older instance of the queue manager by deleting it by its queue manager identifier. The ability to force remove a queue manager by MQID was introduced in version 5.3. In page 32, refreshing repository information. This page shows a situation where the information held in the partial repository cluster cache has become out of sync with the information held on the full repository. In this scenario, the partial repository believes that the queue manager, the queue called my.queue is hosted by queue manager S1 and S3, but the full repository queue manager knows is actually hosted by S1 and S2. This discrepancy can be fixed by issuing the refresh cluster command on the partial repository. It's not normally necessary to issue a refresh cluster command, except in one of the following situations. So if the message have been removed from either the ctm.class.command.queue or from another queue manager's ctm transmission queue, where the destination queue is the cluster command queue and the queue manager is in question. Or if you issue a refresh class command has been recommended by IBM service, If the cluster receiver channels were removed from cluster or their connect names were altered on two or more free portrait managers, where they could not communicate. Also, if the same name had been used for class receiver channel on more than one queue manager in a cluster, and as a result message designating for one of the class queue managers had been delivered to another, in this case, the duplicate should be removed, and then refresh cluster command should be issued on a single remaining queue manager that has the cluster receiver channel. Reset cluster action false remove was issued in error. The queue manager had been started from an earlier point in time than its last finished, for example, by starting backed up data. Now, there are some implementation recommendations. So, you need to be clear about your requirements. Whether it's reduced system administration or workload balancing, you need to read the queue manager cluster menu. The task section are useful, especially how to remove a queue manager from a cluster. So, please pay more attention to the usage notes. Usually, they will contain very important information. And also, no one recommended the conversion. You know, consistency is the key. You must document the processes for the production system changes. No matter you add remove queue manager to or from cluster and take queue manager offline for maintenance, you are stretched to have a two free portrait. Be careful about connecting them and consider where you should host them. You know, you would leave them in a high availability physical machine. And be careful defining cluster topics in existing the cluster. You know, in cluster based on topics, all queue managers are fully connected. It will introduce some high performance issue if you not be careful defining class topics. And also, you need to monitor the system.class transmission queue. While you're debugging, check that channels are healthy. Definition, propagation, and application, you should pay more attention. Also, you need to consider how to will administrate and debug. That some error message would help you, including it's starting with CSQ, X4 for ZOIs, and in distributed platform, you need to pay more attention about AMQ 94 messages. So, by not fix gives you better availability. Just as we talked before, that gives us high workload balancing performance. And the further information in the information center will give you more details about the cluster queue manager and their script command reference. Now, we will talk about clustering and sharing. Q-sharing group is a ZOI-specific concept. You can define shared queues to be a cluster queues, such as a queue is advertised as being hosted by each queue manager in the Q-sharing group, which is also a member of the cluster. You can see the detail in these two pictures. We will talk you need using clustering and in which condition you will consider clustering more in your product environment or test development environment. First, consider using clustering for the two reasons. The first one is you have several queue managers on different platforms and you want them to participate in the workload balancing and availability. The second one is you wish to simplify the channel definitions based on related cluster queue managers. In the six-plex environment, you know, is for the device specific. The following recommendation presumes that the parallel six-plex is provided and feasible. Establish one or more queue sharing groups. Implement a front-end routine mechanism to distribute work diagrammatically between the queue managers using the generic pod concept. Establish the applications to run several clones in parallel and support continuous availability. You probably need this regardless of whether you are using sharing or clustering. With respect to WebSphere MQ, you may not have to change your code at all. Also, implement shared inbound and shared outbound channels according to your needs. Okay, let's review today's session. In this session, I talk about a clustering overview and give some explanation about how cluster works, cluster configuration, and give some workload balance knowledge. I also share some best practice and sharing in this presentation. If you are interested in clustering, actually, we also offered some advanced topic on clustering. The first one is advanced clustering. It will include some, we will talk more about PubSub in multitude and workload balancing, security, HA, and disaster recover. The second session will focus on best practice on clustering. Talk more about conversions, topologies, repositories, migration based on the platform, and the migration focused on release, feedback, team availability and security and monitoring. Just as you know, IBM Sporty offer open mic session monthly. We offer WebSphere MQ, WebSphere Message Broker, and WebSphere Application Server products topics. If you have other more interesting topics, you can give us some feedback. We will consider to add them in our coming sessions. Okay. Now is the Q&A time.
Right. Thank you, Judy. But before the question and answer session, we will be conducting a polling survey. We'll need to cooperate.
Okay.
Right. Is that okay for me to carry on with that?
Okay. Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So we will now conduct the polling session. Each question will be read out in full, followed by all possible answers. Please wait for all choices before answering. And also know that each line may only vote once per question. Answers may not be changed. The first question, do you think that the presentation and content of the conference was helpful? Once again, do you think that the presentation and content of the conference was helpful? For strongly agree, press 1. For agree, press 2. For no opinion, press 3. For disagree, press 4. For strongly disagree, press 5. All participants, please submit your answer now. We will wait for a few moments while all participants submit their votes. There will be a brief silence whilst the results are compiled. Thank you. We will have the second question for polling. Are you satisfied with the presentation? Once again, are you satisfied with the presentation? For very satisfied, please press 1. For satisfied, please press 2. For no opinion, please press 3. For not satisfied, please press 4. And not very satisfied, please press 5. All participants, please submit your answer now. We will wait for one moment while all participants submit their votes. There will be a brief silence while the results are compiled. Thank you. That does conclude our polling session. I'd now like to pass back to the presenter for any closing remarks or actually for the question and answer session. Thank you. Judy, I'll hand it back over to you.
Okay, thank you.
Would you like to actually open all the lines for discussion, or would you want to open the lines one by one for question and answer session?
Hold the line.
I can just open all the lines for discussion, if you would like to. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. All the lines are open for discussion. Please feel free to speak. Right. Are there any questions from the participants? You are just free to speak as your lines are all open. So Judy, do you have any questions for the participants? Right, Judy, do you have any questions for the participants?
Hi. Hi, meeting chair. I have no specific question. So, dear customers and dear my colleagues, you are welcome to raise any questions. Actually, in today's topic, we also invite our MQ development lab developer Andy from Lab 3. If I could not answer your question, Andy will help us to help you to answer your questions. So please go ahead if you have any other questions. If you want to ask me questions offline, it's also okay. You can send me email. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.
Thank you.